Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday after Easter. Boy, it was fun to just bask in the service last Sunday because there was a lot of great things happened last Sunday. And so I did. I basked for a couple, two or three days before I started working on this Sunday's service. But I was left. We finished Mark. A full year, we finished Mark. It's like, okay, what do we do next? And literally, I did not know last Sunday what we were going to do next. But it really became very clear, and it's like very practical. We continue the story. It doesn't end at the end of the Gospels. It continues. It continues into the book of Acts. Acts even picks up where the Gospels left off. Exactly. In fact, Luke, who wrote Acts, goes back and he covers a little bit of what was at the end of Luke. But I wanted to kind of frame today's message. The four wows of Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, I don't know if wow is can be used as a noun, but I'm using it as a noun today. A wow is when something happens that you would say wow to. And we've already covered two of those wows, all right? The first wow was when we discovered Jesus to be the Passover lamb that had been foretold for millenniums already. And the fact that his crucifixion fulfilled so many detailed prophecies. You'll remember last Sunday I read from you from Psalm 22. Somebody grabbed me after the service and said, man, that was powerful. And he said, I think some of the people here thought you were reading from the New Testament when you read Psalm 22. But no, that was from 1,500 years before that even happened. That's, you know, that's a wow, right? That's a wow. So, wow number two was when on the third day after his death, he rose from the grave. Jesus rose from the grave, demonstrating that he had conquered sin and death once and for all. And again, fulfilling certain prophecies, including prophecies that he had made about himself, right? He had told his disciples, his followers, on at least three separate occasions, this was what was going to happen. For some reason, they didn't hear it, and they couldn't digest it until after the fact. But that's wow number two. Today, we're going to get into wow number three, and I'm going to touch on wow number four, but wow number four is going to be mostly covered next Sunday. So, I mentioned Luke wrote the book of Acts. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And so it's a two-volume work, and he intended it that way. And both of those volumes are addressed to a fellow by the name of Theophilus. We don't know who Theophilus is, but obviously it's somebody who is important to Luke. So I want to just read the beginning of the Gospel of Luke to you, and then we're going to compare that to the beginning of Acts, and then we're going to move on with wow number three. Beginning of Luke. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. So he got what he wrote down from eyewitnesses. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. So Theophilus is obviously in some sort of a church setting or a believer setting where he is learning these things, and so are we. So apparently Luke trusted Theophilus. He wrote these as if to him, but he trusted him to be sharing it with his fellow believers, and it got shared, of course, beyond that, and it is a part of our Bible today as a result. So now let's turn to Acts. His second volume continues in the same vein. He gives us a real quick synopsis of volume one before he starts into volume two. He says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. That's what I'm going to call wow number three. He didn't just rise and go directly to heaven. He rose in bodily form and stuck around for 40 days. 40 days. And he appeared to a number of different folks, individuals, groups of folks, even as many as 500 people at a time. Jesus appeared to and taught. He continued to teach the things. You'll remember last Sunday, the passage I read to you from Luke included one of those times when he appeared. He appeared to two of, yes, thank you. I keep stepping on that. He appeared to two individuals who were, of course, followers of his on the road to Emmaus, in which he opened the Old Testament to them in ways that they had never had opened to them and revealed himself throughout the Old Testament. And they didn't understand or recognize who he was until he broke bread with them that evening. Those sorts of things are what Jesus was about in these 40 days, revealing himself as the fulfillment of everything that's there in the Old Testament. That's wow number three. We're going to continue reading where we just left off in Acts and read all the way through 11. We're going to work our way through it a little bit at a time. On verse 4 it says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, now this is after he's died and risen, it's during this 40-day period, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Wow. Like, he's just talking about the Holy Spirit, and you want to talk about restoring Israel. Two very different subjects. It's like the disciples still have not gotten it. They're still trying to make Jesus' ministry about the Jewish nation, about themselves and what they have for the prior part of their life cared the most about. So Jesus, continuing in verse 7, he said to them, and this we've heard these words before, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, wait, I'm going to pause there for a second, okay? The places that he mentions there are critical. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, all in a particular order. So Jerusalem, they're comfortable in Jerusalem, sort of, except that's where they're likely to end up oppressed if they really come out with what they believe. And then Judea, that's home turf for them. This is all Jewish territory, Judea. But Samaria, Jews were not even supposed to set foot into Samaria. And Jesus is saying, this is where I'm sending you. I'm sending you where you have previously been forbidden to go. You go even there. And oh, by the way, I want you to go the whole world, everywhere, everywhere. Let's continue in verse 9. After he said this, he was taken up from before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. He's gone. He hadn't been back in bodily form, but we know from what's said next, he is going to be coming back. Verse 10. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Now, we're still waiting for that day, but that day is promised to us. And there's a tendency for us to dwell on what that's going to be like, when's that going to happen, is it going to happen during our lifetimes? There's a lot of modern-day prophets out there who try to tell you when it's going to happen. Unfortunately, that misses Jesus' point here. His point that it's not for us to know, just be about what I am sending you to do. I'm empowering you with the Holy Spirit to go and spread the gospel to the entire world. The Holy Spirit, by the way, is wow number 4, and we're going to cover that in detail next Sunday, but I'm just giving you that heads up. That's next Sunday. I actually had someone just last Sunday who doesn't attend church here, who knew I preached here. He said, Ronald, are you preaching on end times? You need to be preaching on end times because we're in them and Jesus can come back any day. I told him, I said, well, I have touched on end times, but no, I am not teaching, I'm not preaching end times because the best preparation for end times is knowing and following Jesus. And that's really all you need to know about end times. Is that you need to be ready. It's 2 words. Be ready. That's all we need to get out of apocalyptic literature. Be ready. So how do we make ourselves ready? How can we be ready? As Christians, we face a lot of distractions. Distractions from outside the faith, but there's distractions inside the faith too, right? End times prophecy is one of those potential distractions. Entire new sects of Christianity have been built upon some modern prophet's concept of when Jesus is coming back. And it always amazes me that has happened. And then the date they choose comes and goes, and it's like those folks are all left floundering. Or the guy comes up with a new date. Jesus, in verse 7, what does he say? It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. It's not for us to know. Why waste our time? Remember the gentleman I told you about who was urging me to teach about end times? And I I told him I choose to teach about Jesus because that's the best preparation. So the best preparation is knowing Him. I'm trying to decide how much to skip because this sermon is going too long. Your best preparation is to be about the mission that Jesus gave us. No, by the way, He's about to leave for, you know, a millennium. It's already been 2 millennium, right? It's been 2,000 years, almost. We're about 10 years shy of 2,000 years since He left the earth, since He ascended. And you don't think He chose those last words very carefully, what He was going to say to them? And those last words were to give Him that mission. Give them the mission to reach the entire world with the gospel message. Now, did He expect those 12 disciples to do that? No, of course not. I mean, even in today's fast communication and fast travel, to reach the entire world is daunting. So that message was not just for those 12. It was for the disciples of those 12 and the disciples of those disciples all the way down to us. The message there is for us, and we are still about that same mission. Verse 8, the end of verse 8, the latter half of verse 8 says, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's what we are to be about. But he doesn't leave us there. I mean, just like those 12 disciples, even in the midst of Him talking about this and giving them this ultimate mission, they're thinking about Israel. When are we going to get to govern ourselves again? When are we going to get to kick the Romans out? You see, they had yet to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, which is going to give them what they needed to see the bigger vision that Jesus wanted them to capture. And that's what we need. We need to receive the Holy Spirit. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit instead of ourselves. What is most, maybe even every last one of you in here, have chosen to have some level of devotion to Jesus. But if you had to be honest with yourself, what do you make that devotion about? What is your devotion to Jesus about? Some of us would probably have to answer, it's about me. It's about what I can get out of this. It's about the healing I want. It's about the help I need. It's about feeling good about myself, knowing my sins have been washed away, and dealing with my guilt. And those are all wonderful things. But if that's where you stay, you've not truly chosen to follow Jesus yet. Because following Jesus is not about you. It's about this mission we're talking about this morning. It's about the entire world, starting with your next door neighbor, starting with your coworker, starting with your student or your teacher, someone who you spend some time around, maybe a close friend, maybe just an acquaintance. Some of us make faith about our family, and that's a good thing. Some of us make faith about our church, and that's a good thing. Some of us make faith about bringing this country back to God. Revival. I mean, who doesn't want that, right? And that's a wonderful thing. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus didn't come to restore the United States to being a moral, God-fearing country, any more than He came to release Israel from Roman bondage. He didn't come for that. That's not why He came. He came so that the world would be brought to God through him. And that's our job. That's what we're supposed to pick up on. He came to defeat sin and death once and for all and commission us to spread that word. So my belief in Jesus cannot be solely or even mostly about me. My belief in Jesus must be about accomplishing the mission, the last thing he told his disciples, that mission. That's what we're supposed to be about. Let's not get distracted. Let's rise to meet that mission. Let's not make our faith about ourselves or community fellowship. It's not about community fellowship. It's not about East Bernard. We've got to get outside of ourselves and lean on the Holy Spirit. Have you been looking for purpose in life? We all need purpose, right? Purpose is what gets us up in the morning. Purpose is why we do what we do. But have you chosen the right purpose? Is your purpose to be in mission for Jesus Christ? Your mission, should you choose to accept it, you ever heard those words before? I think it's on Mission Impossible or something like that. This is not an impossible mission. It is a lifelong mission, but it is not impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to love your neighbor all the way to Jesus. Love your neighbor all the way to Jesus. Love someone who doesn't love back. Love even the hardest person to love, and do so as Christ would do. And to do so knowing you are not doing it in and of your own strength or for your own benefit. It is truly Christ in you, empowering you to love beyond your own capabilities. I hope you've been there. I hope you know what that feels like. And it's a great feeling to be used of God and for nobody else to know it. Just do what you know he wants you to do. More on that next week as the story continues. As it turns out, the wows of Jesus continue to this day. Because as you go about that mission, you're going to continue to experience wows in your life and in the lives of those that you are reaching out to. We have several opportunities here at Community Fellowship for you to be in that mission. Timothy mentioned the possibility of Bible school this summer. If that's a way that you want, and I want to say, I want to just make this clear. Bible school is not the women of the church getting together to spend time with the children. So men, you need to step up too. It should be everybody helping with Bible school. So if that's something you can do and want to see happen, hang around for a few minutes after service today to let Lindy and the other children's leaders know you want to help in any way that you can. I mentioned before, the Morelli family is going to be starting an outreach for college-age adults. Maybe there's something that you feel led to help with in that area. Get with somebody in the Morelli family and see if there's some way you can help. There are some discussions about getting the high school youth program going. If that's something you'd like to help out with or encourage or support, get with Christy Fryer or Timothy Gertz, and they're trying to put their heads together on that. The hands and feet ministry that we kind of briefly introduced, 2 weeks from today, we're going to have a formal big launch on that, because where we're going to find ourselves in Acts, oh, by the way, if you hadn't figured it out, we're going to be doing a series on Acts for a while. So 2 weeks from today, hands and feet ministry, there are going to be some tremendous opportunities for you to be Christ's hands and feet, to love on people through that ministry. So looking forward to that. And people, you don't have to be involved in something connected with community fellowship to serve Jesus and to be about the mission. You can do that from your desk at work with your coworker and at lunch, having lunch with somebody. There are so many ways. It doesn't have to be some formal ministry that's coming out of this church for you to really live out that mission. So find that way that you're going to live out the mission that Christ used his last moments on this earth to pass to us. Can you do that? Actually, the answer to that is no, you can't. You can't do it in and of yourself, but you can do it with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and that's next week's sermon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the wows that you sent Jesus to accomplish, for dying for our sin, for rising to conquer sin and death, for sticking around to give us the further instructions, to open the Old Testament to us, to show himself as fulfillment, and for sending the Holy Spirit to empower us to do what he is calling us to do. Father, give us the courage to do that, one step at a time, grow our faith that we might step out, trusting you, loving on people that need your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support Community Fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.